I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It is one win in eight for the Lions. Let's get back to winning ways, shall we? Sitting in 10th in the championship, 5 points adrift of those playoff places. So it is not too far ahead of us, is it? I'm sure we are going to get back there. We are going to reflect on that game with Bristol City at the weekend. A 1-1 draw there. We're going to have our customary Lions legend or hero later on in the show. We've got one heck of a goalkeeping guest. Thoroughly looking forward to that. And of course, we will be previewing a rather exciting trip up to Nottingham Forest at the weekend too. It is the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance.
This is Love Sport.
Millwall Fan Show, me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from No Lou Talking. George Lampy is here. Hello, George.
Hello, Matt.
Gary Staff is here. Hello, Gary.
Evening, Matt.
And I'm going to just move my microphone over to the corner of the room because Patricia Maslin is here. And apparently, I'm in trouble, Patricia.
Not trouble. Well, yeah, you are in trouble. I was listening to the championship show on Love Sport during the week, and you happened to mention that Millwall's season had petered out.
Oh, crikey.
Which got a few expletives in the kitchen that day.
So, sorry, this wasn't on last week's Millwall show. This was on the championship post-match fan show.
Yes.
Right. And I said it had petered out.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Let's look at the evidence, shall we? Well, first and foremost, so you wholeheartedly disagree with that statement?
Yes, I do. I think anyone from 13th up, if they get on a good run, can still make the playoffs. There's 27 points still to play for in the league. And I just thought you was really unfair on Millwall.
Which I'm not normally, to be fair. Matt, perhaps I was backed into a corner. Who was I speaking to that night? Was I speaking to anybody who backed me into a corner?
You were talking about Cardiff City and someone else. I didn't really listen in until you said Millwall. It's just on in the background.
George is crying.
I think, to be fair, I mean, it all became part of a conversation because, I couldn't believe what had happened at the weekend, to be fair. We found ourselves in quite an extraordinary situation in the Championship, didn't we? Listen, we know that this season is crazy in the Championship. No one really wants to actually go that extra mile. Leeds had their terrible run. They seem to be back on form. West Brom looked like they'd found a bit of form again. They go and lose at home to Wigan. But last weekend was bizarrely kind of split in the middle, where your teams in the top half of the table all seem to be playing each other and your teams in the bottom half of the table all seem to be playing each other, bar Leeds, as I mentioned, bar West Brom, of course, as well. QPR and Birmingham City pretty much in the same ballpark there. But you had Blackburn and Swansea pretty much in the same place. Yeah. That was two apiece. Cardiff and Brentford, again, two apiece. Fulham beating Preston, that was the anomaly in all of it. And then you had Millwall, Bristol City, one apiece. So everybody seemed to be drawing with each other. No one really wanted to go the extra mile. And I think that's what I was saying when I was looking at Millwall's recent run of just one win in 8 games, I was thinking, I perhaps wasn't saying that it had petered out, that maybe it was in danger of petering out.
Yeah, not quite what you said. I'll forgive you.
Okay, my apologies.
I think he's trying to get himself out of an hole.
I'm digging. I would never want to upset Patricia Masners. The last thing I'd want to do. But guys, let's reflect on the game with Bristol City, because it was another draw, as we mentioned. George, the game itself, Pedro Pereira, of course, putting City into the lead, and then we'll give it to Matt Smith. It was kind of an own goal, wasn't it, from Thomas Callas, but he's going to claim it.
Kind of, yeah. I thought Bristol looked a very good side in the first half, but I think we contributed, or I think our manager did, because he played Conor Maloney on the right and Wallace on the left. Now, really, they're opposites. They should be on the opposite side of each of the field. And he did that for 30 minutes, which I thought hindered our game actually quite a bit. So, you know, that was my thoughts on that. And it took us half hour. And once we changed back over, you know, you lose so much from Wallace having him on the left. That was, I thought it was a little bit bordered on a bit of nonsense, to be honest. But
really? Nonsense?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't know what the guys think. I just...
Well, go on, Gary.
No, I hadn't really thought about that. I like the fact when wingers switch over, but you now thinking about it, you were right. The game was flat in the first half an hour, but we then started growing. But you look at the Bristol City team, and a lot of people were getting frustrated. Oh, we should be rolling these teams over. Bristol City brought Naki Wells off the bench, they cost him like 6-7 million from.
So they signed him from Burnley. Yeah, five million it was from Burnley. Yeah, but he scored a lot of goals in the Championship with QPR.
Exactly, and he's on the bench. We didn't even turn up
first half. You must admit we lacked creativity. No, we wasn't doing anything.
Exactly the same against Birmingham.
Well, yeah. The manager always sort of says in his post-match talks that we need to sort of up the tempo from the off, and we're not doing it. Come the second half, they've been in, they've had a chat. They're a different team coming out.
Yep.
We up, didn't we? We upped the tempo. Yeah, yeah. We played well, more attacking prowess.
I'd like to have been a fly on the wall at lunch at half time.
But it shouldn't have to be that way, and it's been that way far too often.
I thought Bristol looked one of the best teams I've seen playing football in the first half. I don't know, you know, whether it was a case of us playing badly. I thought they were playing really good football, and you know, just what I've stated there, I thought that contributed to it, certainly. But once we changed over, then Wallace and Marlon, you know, are running the right-hand side as they normally do and working well together, it changed the face of the game, you know, certainly in the second half.
Well, they did come into this one, didn't they? 3 games without a win. It's now 4 for Bristol City. They're very much a streaky side. That's what Lee Johnson's always credited with, or discredited with, I suppose you could say, as a manager, that he goes on these great runs of wins, because they did have that earlier in the season. Just a couple of months ago, really, they had a very good run of 3 games on the bounce. I think they won 4 out of 5. So that's pushed them back into playoff contention, having fallen down from a bit of a streaky run. So they were looking for their first win. They weren't able to get it. Millwall were looking for their first win, not able to get it. First win in a while, Pat, I should say. Not just their first win. Don't have a go at me.
Don't be scared.
Sorry.
Don't be scared.
Can we talk about Jason Malumbi? Because he should have had a penalty, shouldn't he? And Wright was furious after the game.
Absolutely. Every day of the week, that was a penalty. What did the referee's excuse was? It was a coming together, so he didn't give it. What's a coming together? The guy put his leg up and brought Malumbi down from the air. I mean, it was so obvious.
It could have looked as if he had just gone over his back, you know, the way he fell. I don't know. I go with Millwall all day long as it comes to penalties. But I don't know, Gal, what did you think?
From where I was sitting up in block 15, definitely a penalty. Screaming for it.
Yeah.
Referee was in a good position as well. And I thought the referee bottled a lot on.
He did. So,
well, to be honest, I was screaming for him for a...
Yeah, he wasn't the best ref in the world, was he? No, I know we get some bad ones, but he was... Yeah.
Can I ask you about this, guys? Because Andy Davies, the referee, we had a bit of a discussion at the weekend about the standard of refereeing, because I know it's an easy argument to throw out there and we can all say, the referee was rubbish today, but I feel like it's happening more and more and more. With every weekend that passes, people are bemoaning referees. And I know we have VAR in the Premier League and that's a complete shambles. And what I don't want to happen in the EFL is for that VAR campaign to start rumbling, because I think it would ruin what is so much better in terms of a spectacle now, EFL football, compared to the Premier League, just because of all the corporate rubbish, and VAR has completely ruined it. So I hope that doesn't come into the EFL. But Gary, the manner of refereeing, it has dropped, hasn't it?
It's poor. Very, very poor. Saturday, I was screaming. Sometimes I just can't work out what referees see and understand where their thinking is. The biggest problem, I think, 90% of them have never played the game. So they don't understand why that player's done that or why that player's moved in that way or why he's gone in such a way. It's just really frustrating. And I don't know what George and Pat think, but on Saturday, I think he was actually probably the worst we've had all season.
You can only blame the FA for this because they judge, they're marked on their performance as someone they're watching them. And the FA surely knows the marking must have gone down, surely. It's the worst refereeing I've seen for seasons. I mean, how many decent referees we had this year?
Well, I mean, the old chestnut is that if a referee's any good, you don't notice him. Don't you? Mm. And all of our games, the referees stand out like a beacon, you know, because they're like centre stage. And why is that? You have to ask yourself, why is that? Now, it could be that they're just making a bit of a not a very good job of it. I was trying to be polite there all of a sudden.
What makes me laugh, though, as well, is if a Premiership, inverted commas, referee has a bad couple of weeks, they drop him into the Championship. Why put us up with it? Mm. Why should we suffer? Mm. Because he's having a bad game in the Premiership. Sorry.
Yep, completely agree with
you. And if I'm not doing my job at work, I get reprimanded.
Yeah, you don't hear about any of that, do you?
No.
Okay, well, listen, we'll move on from the Bristol City game because it was one apiece. And we've got Nottingham Forest up next, of course, tomorrow. So we'll look ahead to that later on in the show. But before we move on, we've got to have our classic Lions legend or hero debate that I know Patricia Maslin looks forward to every single week. Now, this was nominated by Brian Beecham from Shortlands. And the legend or hero in question is none other than Mark Kennedy, current Macclesfield boss. What are you saying, Pat?
What am I saying? We were discussing this outside and we think the title of this section should be expanded. I think it was brought up before. Legend, hero, thank you very much, and who? And I think Kennedy falls into thank you very much. He's not hero or legend. He was a brilliant player for us, not very long, and we got a nice little profit when we sold him. And his goal at Arsenal in the FA Cup was magic. But apart from that, I can't understand why he's been nominated, apart from being Irish and Eamon being Irish.
Yeah, well, I should imagine that's the reason why, to be honest. No, I mean, he got an outstanding goal at Arsenal that we all remember. And, you know, he's one of them players that you only have to say his name and everybody remembers that night at Ibury. And it was a marvellous goal and a great occasion for us. But he's certainly not a hero because he wasn't with us long enough. But he had a good career and a great career. And yeah, good luck to the boy. But no, not a hero. Legend.
Can't add any more to what both have said. Not here long enough. Did score a great goal that night in Arsenal. I was there screaming along. But what was the third category you said?
Thank you very much.
Definitely a thank you very much for me. Not a hero or a legend, unfortunately, Mark. Sorry, mate.
We did make 2.3 million out of him, which was the highest fee for any teenager at that time. So
where did he go?
Liverpool.
He went to Liverpool, yeah. I remember. I remember the game that you're talking about against Arsenal. It was 2-0, wasn't it?
In the FA Cup. Mark Kennedy.
Drilled a left footer in the bottom corner.
Yeah.
Beautiful goal. Yeah, and he was a very talented player, you know, young man. It's a shame in many respects he didn't stay with us longer.
Okay, so I'll go round. Are we not having a legend or a hero across the board? So we're just saying thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yep.
There we go. All right, Mark Kennedy, thank you very much for being a Millwall player.
Pat's created her own little bit.
Sorry, Eamon.
Next up, we've got a very good goalkeeper guest on the Millwall Fan Show. Stick with us.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, Users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Love Sports.
It's the Millwall Fan Show with me and Matt Beadle and the guys from No One Likes Us Talking, George Lampy, Patricia Maslin and Gary Staff. We just had a thank you very much poll there for Mark Kennedy. By the way, that game against Arsenal, who scored the other goal?
Mark Beard.
There we go, across the board. I should have known not to test you. How foolish of me. Now, we're going to get on to our guest in a minute, but firstly, Rocky Millwall Bustin, who grew up just off the Old Kent Road, still needs your help. Rocky and his family are trying to raise money for Masefield's residential care home in Swindon. It was home to Gareth, a very special person, a very special son, brother and uncle. You can help by going to the page set up by Gareth's sister Chantelle. Go to justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Chantelle-Cox. That is spelled Chantelle, C-H-A-U-N-T-E-L, and Cox is C-O-X. Rocky, Millwall Bustin and his family, thank you for whatever help you can give. Now, we're going to move on to our guest tonight, a goalkeeper guest, no less. He moved to Millwall on a free transfer from Liverpool back in 1999. Thanks to his consistency between the sticks, the side finished fifth in Division 2. That's League 1, by the way, now, at the turn of the millennium, before going up as champions the following season. He was voted Player of the Year in May 2003. He racked up more than 200 appearances for the club, and he also earned the nickname Denzel because he looked, apparently, and sounded like the TV character from Only Fools and Horses. So do I say welcome Tony Warner or do I say welcome Denzel?
I suppose he's been on the Millwall radio show, Denzel.
So was this given to you by your teammates, Tony?
No, do you know what? If I remember right, I remember just hearing it from the crowd one day and I wasn't quite sure what was going on, and then I think I spoke to the lads and then they squared me up on what it was about.
Nice. Football nicknames. Yeah. Always the way to go. Love it. We had a few last week. We had last week the Peckham Beckham.
Brilliant. Oh, that's right.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Lovely
yeah.
stuff. Yeah. Tony, great to have you on the show. Thank you for spending a bit of time this evening. Talk us through your move to Millwall from Liverpool.
I left Liverpool in the summer, and then the agent was just kind of saying, look, you know, can go away on holiday, we'll try and get something sorted out. And there was a couple of teams, Bury being one and Millwall being the other. I went down to Millwall. You know, he said Ben Roberts had been there, and we had the same agent. And he said, well, Ben Roberts said it was a really good environment, that you'd really enjoy it. You know what I mean? It'd be a lovely place to start your career. I'm thinking, right, okay, fine. You know, I'm getting the heads up off my agent. So ended up going down there. And as soon as I got there, I got a good vibe for it, to be honest. Yeah, it was like an experience, like some experienced players there, like loads of young lads who were just like running through brick walls, good quality. You know, Timmy Cahill, Stephen Lee, Paul Eiffel, just to name three. I'd had a bit of an experience with Chopper as well. He'd come up to Liverpool on trial, so I played a couple of reserve games with him. So it was just like a bit of a friendly face I'd seen James Stewart on holiday somewhere. So it was an easy introduction into the place, you know. So I was there for, I don't know, I think it might have been a week or so or 10 days. You know, we finally got it tied up and got it over the line.
Great. Thanks, Tony. Tony, yeah. It's Gary here.
Right, Gary.
There you go, mate. Who was your greatest inspiration at the Den, considering you played, as you say, some great players and you just mentioned there?
My inspiration. Do you know what? Nobody really inspired me, to be honest. Inspired
was that
the
because
wrong
they
word.
Were all rubbish, Tom?
No. Do you know what it was? It was like we were just a good team. It's not as if you ever looked up to anybody. You were just happy that you had them with you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's to a man that the squad, I think what it was is, I think that the sum was greater than our parts, because we backed ourselves all the time as a squad. Like, we go home, we go away, we would always fancy ourselves no matter who we were playing. We were never kind of overawed by anybody. And I think that was the togetherness of the squad. A lot of us lived in and around the Bromley area, so we'd socialise together, which I think helped a lot. So to say anybody inspired me, I wouldn't say anyone, to be honest, yeah. It's just that, like, everybody as a team that was involved in the period that I was there, it was absolutely superb. Because, like, looking back, I was there for 5 years. The first season, we got to the playoffs. Got knocked out by Wigan. Next season, we won the league. The third season, we got to the playoffs again. Got turned over by Birmingham. The fourth season was like a bit of a damn squib, just playing for nothing at the end. And then the fifth season, we got to the FA Cup final. So over the course of five seasons, four of them, we were always pushing for something. And there was lads who came and went in that spell as well, you know. It was just the team. The team was absolutely spot on. It, you know, it was the place where I pretty much kind of started my football career. You know, there was a few loans and stuff, but that's where I really established myself. And you know, it's the most significant amount of games I've played for any club. So, you know, I always look back at it with fond memories. To be fair.
Hi Denzel, it's Pat here. You mentioned the FA Cup final there. You didn't get to play. Was that your biggest disappointment?
Yeah, I suppose it was, but in a way, it wasn't too harsh on me because I got injured fairly early. No, it was probably early on in the year. So it was like the January I got an injury. Then I come back and then I got my knee injury, which put me out for the rest of the season. So even though we did play in the FA Cup the earlier rounds, I was pretty much a spectator as we were going on through like, you know, towards the final. Who's to say if I was playing, we would have got to the final. Who knows? But it happened the way it did. And like, I remember there was me, there was Kevin Muscat, who had any injuries. But I also remember the one who kind of took the odds was Daniel Ditchio, because I think he got himself suspended. He got sent off for Forest, I think. So he kind of got him, unfortunately, you know, in that kind of way, he kind of got himself out of the final. Or out of contention of the final. And I remember when we went to Cardiff, we were all like looking around. Ditchio was a bit quiet, and he had to kind of get off. He had to kind of, like, we were just walking around enjoying it, the spectacle and stuff. And he went and sat in a stand or went back to the changing room, because I think he just thought the gravity of what he'd missed out on. So it affected him more than it affected me, because I had a long time to kind of get my head around it. But still, you know, it was, I suppose it's a regret, but there was a lot of rounds that had to be played before they got to the final. And the lads deserved to be there on their own merit, really.
Tony, quick question at that point, though. Do you think with Ditchio and Muscat missing, if we had been playing in the game, it might have been a bit different?
Yeah, possibly, yeah. You know, like, especially, well, yeah, you know, they're both boss players. You know, they both kind of pull away from Millwall. I mean, I think Kevin Muscat would have been the biggest influence on the game if he would have been playing. Just by his personality, and, you know, he was a person who just wasn't fazed by anybody. It might have been difficult to keep the reins on him in occasion.
Take a few out.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And I'm sure the Man United players would have maybe, you know, known a few a few little switches to press. You know what I mean, but to press to kind of get him out of. But no, you know, listen, they were two big players that, you know, if he hadn't been playing, you know, it would have made it a bit more difficult for United.
Tony, it's George Allen, mate.
Right.
What was your most memorable match for the Lions? I mean, you had them five seasons. What was the one that stood out for you?
Do you know what? There's a couple I look back on. There was Stoke away when we beat them 1-0. You know, the reason why I remember that game was just kind of sitting in the changing rooms. I just knew, not that you could put your house on something, I just knew I wasn't going to concede that day. And you know, you always go into games confident, or you try and make sure you prepare yourself so you can walk in confidence. But that one particular game, I just remember thinking to myself, I am not getting turned over today, and we can play for 10 hours and I'm not conceding the goal. And it turned out that way. We went 1-0 up early on with Stephen Reid scoring. And I remember they put us under the cosh quite a bit, but I remember just keeping everything out. That was one just on a mental thing. But probably the most memorable game was winning away at Crystal Palace. I think it was on New Year's Day or Boxing Day. I just remember it was over the Christmas period. But saving a penalty and winning 1-0, Chopper scored. And I think we were under the cosh quite a bit, and I was under pressure myself. So they had a lot of possession. They had like a lot of shots on goal, and I managed to keep a clean sheet. Actually, another thing with that game as well. I remember it was in injury time, and they've either had the corner of the free kick, and they put it in, and I've come out and caught the cross. And as I've landed, I remember just landing next to Thomas Meira and just looking at him, and he just looked at me, and I just looked at his goal. He set off running towards the goal. Another, you just think to yourself, this could be like a pivotal moment. This, it's 1-0 away at Crystal Palace. You've already saved the penalty. If you can stick this in, the roof will come off the place. You know what I mean? And I went for it, but I pulled it. I think went out for a goal kick or something. But I remember the look on our faces. We were just thinking like weird. You know what I mean?
I love that. So two goalkeepers looking at each other at that moment in time. Him going, I know exactly what you're thinking, and you're going, yeah. I'm going to try this.
Yeah, and that was it. And off it went. I let it go, but yeah, I just pulled it, so it wasn't to be. But still, it was probably the most memorable game I've got. Playing for Millwall, that would have absolutely topped it off. But it went to be.
You mentioned Neil Harris there, Tony. Just want to get your opinion on him moving into management. Of course, he spent a lot of time at Millwall. He's now with another club in the Championship, yeah. And Gary Rowett has taken over from him. Did you ever expect it? Did you see it within him that he was going to go on to be a manager?
I suppose so, because he was always very level-headed. He was good laughing all that, and he was right in tune with all the lads and the whole team and all that. He was fairly sensible, and he was very, very driven. To go into management, to say he'd come back to Millwall, who'd have known? But he definitely had it in him. And again, Sean Dyche was another one. He was probably more so than Chopper. He was, again, great, great round of place. Again, like in Shingle Lads, but again, really focused. And really driven to get where he wanted to be, and that just shows now of where he's ended up at Burnley and doing the job he's doing there. But absolutely made up for Neil, like stepping into the job at Millwall. For his own reasons, he decided to step down, and he's opened up another chapter in his career.
The defenders you had in front of you at Millwall, I mean, some of them, I mean, you mentioned Dicey there. I mean, how good were they?
They were great. It was the thing that I found, like which you mentioned before, is just through, I know we had like very, very, very good spells. We would have maybe some, obviously, little bits of wobbles and stuff. But it was just that never say die attitude. We had like Robbie Ryan, Nethercott, Sean Dyche, Matty Lawrence on the right. They were like, that was pretty much the stock standard back four when I was playing there. And the one thing I always remember was they just never seemed to give up on you or give up on the job at hand. Like there'd be times where a forward would have broke the offside line, the back line. And all I can remember was them just absolutely rampaging behind them. Sean Dyche never got in. You know what I mean? Because I think what they would potentially do is they'd probably think, well, we've maybe got half a chance. Tony might save it. You might delay him. You might do something. But what you would find is sometimes do find, think, well, you know what? I can't get back there to affect what the forward does. So it's up to the keeper now. Whatever will be, will be. But you would just see them running from behind, just rampaging. And that would encourage you as well. So you think, you know what, if I can delay him, if I can just maybe get a save or a rebound, they're going to come and help me. So, the team was an absolutely fabulous team. It was the most enjoyable period of my football career. And I've been around quite a few other sides and different levels and different places. And for the main reason, that was where I was most established and enjoyed my football the most. I know those defenders and the team, about bringing that about.
Tony, just a couple more before you go. Firstly, I'd like to ask you about the current goalkeeper situation at the club. Frankie Fielding came in the summer, of course, started the season, was straight out the side when he got injured on that opening game against Preston. Bart has since come in and been something of a revelation, hasn't he? He's been absolutely brilliant in goal for Millwall.
Yeah, he has. You know, coming from Ipswich, and I think, you know, there was a bit of an issue with his knee or his medical or something, but they decided to kind of, you know, look past that and get him in. And he's been absolutely chopped jaw. He's been a revelation, like you say. You know, I don't think they probably expected him to be the keeper he has been. Yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant. You know, he's firmly established himself and made the position his own, hasn't he?
Tony, you've been seen at games. You've been spotted and had your photo done, especially when we play away. So we know you keep in touch with what's going on at Millwall. How do you think we're going to progress under Gary Rowett?
Well, you know, since Chopper has left, I think they've got the right man in. You know, I think he gets the club. You know, from I haven't been to any games this season. You know, from the people I've been speaking to, he's saying, you know, he likes to play football and he can adapt it and change it, you know, as and when he needs to. I think it's a good appointment. I think it's a good appointment because I think when you have someone like Neil, you know, the legend that he is, sometimes you have a big turnover of managers, which is never any good. Mm-hmm. You know, I think hopefully that will be the man from what I'm hearing.
Tony, thank you very much for joining us. Tony Warner there, former Millwall goalkeeper.
Thank you, Tony.
Love that. Love talking to the likes of Tony Warner. Great stories, especially about that FA Cup final. It was interesting, wasn't it, to hear how they were walking around the ground and certain players obviously had to pull themselves away because they knew the magnitude of what they were going to miss. I remember actually because Andy Marshall that was in between the sticks, wasn't it, for that game.
That's right, yeah.
Good keeper.
I remember him telling, he told a story recently. I was interviewing him and he said that he was on the coaching staff at Aston Villa for a little while. I think he was at Charlton now, isn't he? He's on the coaching staff at Aston Villa with Roy Keane. And he said Roy Keane was sat in his chair one day. Apparently Andy Marshall had to go and fix his computer or turn his computer on. He said Roy Keane was that illiterate when it came to digital. He had no idea what he was doing. And he did it for him. Apparently he went and sat back at his computer, Andy Marshall, and he was sort of playing on his computer. And then Keane, he could sense that Keane was just looking at him. He said, "What's he looking at me for?" And he waited. And Keane, he squinted his eye, Marshall. Didn't you stop me from scoring a goal in a FA Cup final? And he literally, I remember, he suddenly came to his head, Roy Keane, I remember you, because he made a great save, didn't he, from a Roy Keane volley that he tipped over
did.
The bar.
Yeah,
but brilliant. Yeah, Andy Marshall in goal for Millwall that day. Sadly, it wasn't to be, of course, Manchester United with the FA Cup win, but we'll brush past that. Great guest there, Tony Warner. Next up, we've got the fan in the dugout on the Millwall Fan Show.
Love Sport.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Biddle, with the guys from the No Lou Talking crew. Now, take the stress out of managing your business with Churchill. Churchill's standard policy provides £1 million of public liability cover with access to our 24/7 legal helpline. Not to mention a range of add-ons, including cover for your tools and business equipment, personal accident and employer's liability insurance. Visit the public liability page on churchill.com. Churchill is underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
This is Love Sport.
It's the fan in the dugout. Now, I'm delighted to say, finally, we have Aisha Smith on the line. Hello, Aisha.
Hello. All right.
Yeah, very good. Great to have you here. I'm dying to hear about these cakes. Stan Godwin goes on and on and on about them. Now, talk to me. What is so special that goes into these cakes, Aisha?
Well, do you know the great thing? It's that it's not just me. It's lots of fans make cakes, buy cakes, bring them all in for... I tend to try and do it when we have a Macmillan bucket collection. So because, you know, Macmillan do the coffee morning thing, which is like a bit of a cake theme. I try to do it then. And there's just, we have a cake stall at the Den. And they're lovely cakes.
I mean, it sounds great. It's just one of many things that you do before games, right, Aisha? As I understand it, you raise a lot of money for the Poppy Appeal. You've mentioned Macmillan there. You know, you work for the Lime Roars fanzine as well. How do you have time to do all this?
I don't sleep very often. And there's sometimes, even with not sleeping, there's just not enough hours in the day. But I do like to keep busy. I mean, it's not all me, obviously. You know, I do help out, but... with like the Poppy Appeal, Mel Atmore, she organises all of it, and you know, then we're just boots on the ground really to help with it, and trying to with the sleeping bags. I don't know if you've heard about the collecting sleeping bags for the homeless veterans on UK Homes for Heroes. You know, they do great work feeding and keeping warm heroes at Waterloo. You know, and I'm just there helping with the sleeping bags and raising money for it, you know. So it's all a teamwork in all the different areas, you know.
Right. Hello, Aisha, it's Pat here.
Hello, all right.
Yeah, back to Millwall. What's been your most memorable game over the last decade?
Oh, I've been trying to think about that one because we've had quite a few, haven't we?
We've had some good ones.
Yeah, we've had some great ones. But, you know, other than the obvious, you know, Wembley games and stuff like that, I think I'd probably say the Blackburn away game that sent us to Wembley that year. Now, I was convinced that Shane Lowry scored that goal, and I'd obviously had way too many because when I looked it up to check what the date was to see if it was in the last decade, it was Danny Shitto.
So, yeah. Of course.
And the thing was, I drove up to the game and my husband was driving back. So I obviously knocked back a few quickly to catch up with everybody else because I was driving. And I don't know why, in my head, for the last 7 years, it's been Shane Lowry scored it, but it wasn't.
No, it was a thundering header from the big man himself.
But yeah, yeah. No, I must be thinking of another game.
Hi, Al, so how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks.
Keep up the good work, by the way. I walk past you every Saturday when I come to the ground, so I'll say hello this next week when I'm there.
Oh, yes, please do.
Will do. Gary's made a bit of a difference, hasn't he? The results have changed, certainly, since Neil left. What are your thoughts about him?
I was a bit sceptical at first because I thought, oh, you know, Birmingham have had him, you know, at three different clubs in our division had had him. And I thought, well, you know, if he's not good enough for them, why is he going to be any good for us? And, you know, you hear the stories of why he left other places and what have you. And it just seems like really bad luck or absolutely nutcase chairman. And that's why he's left other places, you know. He does seem to be doing the business for us. I just worry that sometimes, you know, we can have the same team going out, the same formation, and one day it's like watching a Premiership team, and the next day it's like watching Sunday League. I can't get my head around why they like that.
It's Millwall. It's always been Millwall.
Yeah, I know.
Hello, Aisha. It's George. How are you?
Hello, you're all right.
Yeah, not bad. Who is your favourite player of all time when it comes to the Lions, and who's your favourite player at the moment?
Oh, of all time, I think I'd probably have to say Neil Harris, really. Just because, you know, he's been a favourite for so many years. Used to be Katie Keller. It was Katie Keller mad at one point. But, yeah, I suppose for the amount of time that he's been there and that I've liked him for all that time, I'd say him. But now, I mean, I'd say Ben Thompson, although he's not playing at the minute.
He's one of ours, isn't he?
He's just, he's one of ours. How can you not love him,
yeah,
you know?
That's right.
It's all he missed at the moment. Yeah.
Now, Aisha, I understand. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but have you always been a Millwall fan, or did you convert to Millwall a little later in life?
That's something I didn't know.
Yeah, me too.
No, when I was younger, I did used to, I don't want to swear on the radio, but I did used to like Tottenham. But that was only, and I've realised that now, because Ayrew was on the telly at the time. I'd not been to a game. They were on the telly, you know, in the 80s and up until the 80s. And it was a friend of mine took me down to Millwall when I was 10, and that was it. I was sold straight away. No looking back.
Good girl.
That's good to me.
That's certainly the way to be. Aisha, it's been great having you with us. Let's just look ahead to the game with Nottingham Forest tomorrow, because they are winless in four league games against the Lion. They've drawn two and they've lost two. That goes all the way back to August 2017. What are your hopes for this one?
I'd like to see us win 2-1. I always say that, 2-1. But we've not played great on the telly this season. Sometimes we're wonderful on the telly, aren't we? You know, rubbish normally, and then on the telly we're brilliant. I'm just hoping that's going to turn. And obviously Sky's got it on because they want Forest. That's who they want to watch. Let's hope we can shake it up a bit and surprise everyone.
Absolutely. Aisha Smith, thank you
Cheers, Aisha. Thanks for joining us.
Aisha Smith, the fan in the dugout there. Of course, this was last on Sky, wasn't it, Gary? I believe it was the game where you called in live from the stadium.
And I was getting very excited because Grabham had scored just bef- just before. Mm. Then we equalised in the last 90th minute, I believe. Mm. And then we went on a marauding run. I believe it was Mahoney as well. He was, and then he hit the side netting. But I was very excited.
You were.
A bit too excited, I think, for that.
Never.
Couldn't get me words out.
No, never too excited. This is the Millwall Fan Show. Next up, we're going to be looking ahead to tomorrow's game at the City Ground with Nottingham Forest. Love Sport. Millwall Fan Show, me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from No One Likes Us talking. We're going to get on to the game with Nottingham Forest in a moment or two. But first, Millwall Lionesses still remain top of their league, despite not playing on Sunday as their game against Stevenage was called off. That has now been rearranged for this Sunday at 2 p.m. As you may recollect, they play Stevenage for the third and last time this season. A very good side. Who have they drawn with and beaten already? This is a massive game to win, to retain top spot and put space between the two sides. If you can, head to Stevenage and roar the Lionesses on. We'll update you with all of that again next Thursday. Right. George, over to you. Those away day tips.
All right, getting to Nottingham. There are currently major roadworks being carried out in the Clifton Bridge on the A52. There's a lot of numbers coming up here, but you should bear this in mind. This shouldn't affect Millwall fans if they travel and leave the M1 at junction 21A, that's Fossett Park, and take the A46 and then the A606 and then follow the signs for football traffic. That should get you there safe and sound, hopefully. Parking is available at the cattle market areas from County Road. That's the rear of the Notts County ground. Or use Queen's Road multi-storey car park, which is near to the train station. The official away designated bar, as is always, the broken wheelbarrow situated on the Meadow Lane at the Notts County ground. This is an 11-minute walk to the away end. Millwall fans who are collecting tickets can do this from behind the Brian Clough stand, which is a little further on from the away end, through the East Stand car park. Away fans should access the East Stand via the car park off Scarrington Road or Ostend Road only. The City Ground is cashless in the concourse areas, but bear that in mind and don't forget your cards then, guys, all right?
Well read, George. Loved every minute of that. Of course, it is Nottingham Forest up next in the Championship. That is tomorrow evening. It was a thrilling 2-2 draw earlier in the campaign. Now, like Millwall, they've not been on the best run of form at the moment. Just one win in five under Sabrina Mushi. That came away at Cardiff. They are still chasing that automatic promotion spot, I suppose, whereas Millwall are very much chasing the players, but it could all turn around with, what, 10 or so games to go in the Championship. Guys, Patricia, how do you see this one going?
This is a hard one because I never put Millwall to lose. I think we're going to win this one. As you say, Forest haven't been playing that well of late. I think if we put the same team out, although I think the new guy should start. What's his name? I forgot.
Bennett. Mason Bennett.
I think he should start the game because our forwards are absolutely, I shouldn't say dire, but I'm not enjoying.
You were going to say useless.
I read today, though, Pat, that John Daddy and Bradshaw are both ill.
Are they?
Yes, unfortunately.
I'm not a big fan of Smith either. I think we've really
been running out of options.
Exactly. Exactly. I think we're very poor in the last third. So that's why I want to see Bennett start. I think if Bennett starts and he plays the team from last week, I think we could win this one.
Yeah. You could maybe, if Bodvarsson and Bradshaw are injured, you could play Bennett through the middle, which is where he likes to play, maybe off of Matt Smith. You never know.
Smith's okay. He was okay. It was a pretty good game against Bristol. But he's so lethargic in the middle of the field, isn't he? If he has to run and get the ball, it's
depressing.
Did
you find after he went off on Saturday, the game sort of turned against us again?
Yeah, I mean, you've got AOB coming on, and he played quite well, actually. I'm not a fan of AOB, but he did play quite well.
Do you like anyone?
I was going to say,
players?
You're a fan of anyone, Pat.
You know, you're not a Charlton fan, are you?
I just get so frustrated with that final third. We're so good in midfield, and our defenders are really good.
It was the area that we lacked Saturday. It really did notice, I think, our forward play.
Very frustrating. Yeah. We were getting the crosses in the second half, and there's just nothing there to pick up on it.
No, and Well, I got to say, especially with Grabham around, he's a nightmare, isn't he, for us? He drives me mad, actually, to be honest.
But hopefully a dodgy near player, but he won't play.
Well, he's a funny player, isn't he, Lewis Grabham? We saw as well in the game against Middlesbrough on Monday, of course, scored what I suppose was a slightly controversial goal, kind of standing in front of Ainsley Pearce, the Middlesbrough goalkeeper. It was given on that occasion. We saw the impact that he had when he came on at the Den earlier in the season. A former Millwall man, Gary. I mean, he's a good striker. He's not a great striker. But you know, when you have a Lewis Grabham in your side, he's one of those strikers that you always think clubs will always sign him because he's going to get you 10 to 15 goals a season.
Yeah, exactly. He was never a bad player for us.
No,
you can always rely on that. Look back at that pass that he passed to Jimmy Abdu in the Leeds game. He wasn't a bad player, but he just, for some reason, the crowd didn't warm to him. Maybe it was his lazy attitude sometimes.
I just think at that time we had better forwards. Yeah. We had Harris, didn't we? We had Moody.
Yeah.
There was no way he was going to get in the team anyway.
No. So. He always had the potential to be a very good player.
But he went on to have a mercenary career, really, like two seasons here, two seasons at Sunderland, two seasons. But Forrest seems to be his mainstay at the moment. He's been there 3-4 seasons now?
He's done well.
He's done well for him. So, look, I'm not going to bad mouth the guy because that, knowing my luck, if I did that, if you boo a player, they'll always score against you. So, but let's talk about our team, though. We're a good team at the moment, but we just need to find a bit more consistency. Hopefully, like Leeds and West Brom, we're going to move out of our blip and then run to the end of the season.
Yeah, but us scoring a goal from open play is like seeing a vegan in an abattoir.
It may depend on how Rowett plays, you know, what formation he plays. Some of them seem to suit us and some don't. You know, and as I say early on in the show, I thought he got it wrong last week with the wingers for so long. But I think if he plays Wallace and Marlon together, that would certainly improve us down the right-hand side.
Do you think we've been slightly found out as well, George?
No, I think our forwards, if I'm really honest, and I tend to agree with Pat, are a little bit poor.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned the open play issue as well. It's around, if you don't include Matt Smith's goal on Saturday, whether it was his goal or an own goal, let's get rid of that. It's more than 700 minutes of football where Millwall have not scored a goal in open play. That goes all the way back to the 82nd minute of that game against Reading in January when Daddy scored. What, Gary, what are you putting that down to, the fact that they're not being able to create chances in open play?
Well, we're certainly getting the crosses in.
We are.
We have made lots of chances, and the goalkeepers have pulled off some marvellous saves these last few weeks. So there's an element of that to it. You shouldn't ignore that.
I was thinking about Saturday when Bradshaw got a beautiful header in and
he's missed some sitters lately.
They've all gone through stages like that in our career, but it's just frustrating at the moment. I think the problem is, okay, Smith scored on Saturday. Luckily, Smith scored on Saturday, but you've got John Daddy. He's only scored one in 10. Bradshaw's not. He's scored 0 in 10.
No one's consistent at the moment.
No one's actually helping anyone out. All we need is someone to maybe get one or two and just spark, and it might spark someone else. I mean,
it's money, isn't it? I would say January, more than the midfielder they kept on about, looking for a decent forward would have been my priority. But again, it's money, isn't it?
Is
it all about money? Should it be about money? As I said earlier, Bristol City have spent all this money keeping someone like, what's his name?
Naki Wells
on the bench. We're holding our own against very good teams. We are punching above our weight.
It's because we've got a really good defence, and we've got a lovely midfield. Here's a question, Pat.
Would you trade in Wallace and Cooper to build our team next season?
No,
it's a work in progress.
Neither would
I. The thing you want to do is improve your forward line. I think that's the secret.
I mean, it'd be interesting in the close season to see what Rowett does. I mean, he's been at clubs in the past where he's had money to spend, and a lot of money. Apart from Burton, he's had a lot of money to spend at Stoke, at Derby, at Birmingham. Now he's at Millwall. Now we know we've got money to spend, but not in the quantities they had. It'll be interesting to see who he actually brings in.
Exactly, and it might prove him what a good manager is without having to buy a good player.
Can I just make a little point while we're here? You might remember some weeks ago we were saying how bad our pitch was, wasn't we?
Mm. Yes.
And I said to you, as with my gardening experience out on, that you'll never be able to get the grass to grow or whatever. Well, they have done a marvellous job. They have transformed that pitch. You know, they have, our two young fellas who look after the pitch have done a really top-notch job there. Actually.
And 2 tonne of grass seed.
Well, yeah, don't matter how much grass seed you got, you've got to make sure it works and
you
get
do.
It to grow.
I always see him, Tyler, whenever you go past that train on that line going into London Bridge, back into East Dulwich and Peckham and beyond, you always see those lights on. You see the boys on the pitch doing their work. So, yeah, 100% they've done an incredible job. Pat, I just want to quickly touch on Mason Bennett because you were sceptical of him when he arrived at the club, but you did say just then that it would be right for maybe him to start.
Yeah, the last couple of games he's come on and he's looked not impressive, but he's looked good. I think by giving him a start, we'll really see how good he is up front. I think my reservations was his record before, both professional and private, but I'm willing to give him a go. He's a Millwall player at the moment, so we'll give him a go and see how he gets on.
Okay, guys, nothing but a pleasure having you in my company. As always, here on a Thursday night, the Millwall Fan Show with the guys from No Lou Talking. We're going to go round the table now and give... Oh, Pat, she's not sure. I'll come to you last, Pat, because you're not sure about this one. Gary, the game tomorrow in Nottingham Forest, of course, a win crucial, really, to get back to winning ways and put the pressure on those teams above you as you seek out that playoff spot in the Championship. What are you saying?
I think it'd be a typical Millwall. I sat here about 2-3 weeks ago and had a banana skin against Wigan, which I knew we were going to lose.
Yeah,
I think we're probably going to win 2-0.
There we go. Comfortable. Yeah. Like it. George?
I think it's going to be 2-2.
Yeah?
A Desmond.
Are we going to score goals from open play?
Yes, I think we will. Yeah, I think we've been unfortunate. Yeah.
I think we're going to win 2-1. And I'd like to see Bennett score.
Your new favourite player, I think, Pat.
Absolutely not.
Well, Jason Malumbi, of course, buys into that as well. He thinks that it's in Millwall's own hands to get into the playoffs. Of course, there are doubters. He is not doubting that for 1 second. He has signed a new deal, though, at Brighton, hasn't he? So in terms of that permanent deal we were talking about last week, maybe Brighton see him as part of their future, or maybe they're signing him on that deal to just ramp up that price tag. Remains to be seen what happens with
that
one.
That's what I said.
Yeah. I agree as well.
okay, nice. Guys, nothing but a pleasure. Thank you for joining us as always. This has been the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. We're your destination for electrical products. Keep yourself safe and protected with new GFCI outlets from Legrand. They're available in a variety of finishes. Now at Menards, save big on all Legrand outlets and dimmer switches. View our entire selection of Legrand products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Allergen Air Filters. They trap larger airborne contaminants to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our entire selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening this week.
Save big.